Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So we have that place in the middle where we are not legalistic, but we are not licentious. We are not living in the world involved in the sins of the world, but we are not legalistic involved in the things of the world. We are filled with the Holy Spirit and we walk by the Spirit. And the mind set on the flesh is carnal, Romans 8 says, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace.
We who are the bride of Christ have chosen to follow and worship the one true God because we have accepted the free gift of salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We don't have to follow a list of rules, but at the same time, we want to walk in the Spirit and not in the ways of the world because we love Jesus. And that is why, the Bible tells us, we will escape the wrath to come. We're wrapping up Revelation chapter 18 and the final destruction of Babylon. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
This system of religion, Christianity, the real one, is the bride of Christ. You've got Jezebel earlier in the book of Revelation, that we have the original Jezebel married Ahab, and then you've got a Jezebel that's brought up when he's writing letters to the church, which speaks of a religious system as well. So it says that all the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. She is full of luxury, and the merchants of the earth have become rich. This is the financial boom. It doesn't mean everybody in the world gets rich, but it does mean the merchants get rich and the merchants have to have people that are working for them. And there is a financial boom. And when a financial boom is destroyed, can you think about how bad they would feel? This city has been a luxurious city. And I heard another voice come out saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. Now there is a call to come out of Babylon. Now this is, if it's in the middle of the tribulation period, then you could be talking to Israel, and it could be Jerusalem, could be the system then. And that would follow the Islamic mindset, by the way, that the religious and the economic power would be the city of Jerusalem, which is called a great city in chapter 11, by the way. In chapter 11, when it says that they laid out the two witnesses, they laid them out, which is, by the way, an Islamic practice. It's crazy how many little connections there are. When Islam kills their enemies, what do they do with their bodies? They drag them around the streets. They display them openly, which is what they do to the bodies of the two witnesses. So the whole world looks at them. And they laid the bodies out in the city which is called, spiritually, Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. So the city of Jerusalem gets so contaminated, and God says that great city, which is called spiritual Egypt and Sodom, where our Lord was crucified. So Israel is called that great city. It says in verse 4, and I heard another angel saying, come out of her. Now, you and I are called to come out of this world. We're not supposed to be of this world. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And I am afraid that we have gotten too involved in the world. I'm afraid that in our fear to not be legalistic, we've seen so much bad legalism, and legalism is bad because people can believe they're saved when they're not just because they're keeping rules. That's what makes legalism bad. When you say, this is what you do as a Christian, when you do those, you're saved. The problem is you might be doing them and you're not saved because it's a relationship with Christ. But you could go the other way and go, I'm not legalistic, so you're licentious. You get involved in things you shouldn't get involved in. There's these two enemies that stand at our right and left, and one of them is Galatians. Don't be legalistic. Don't keep those things. The other one is James. James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. James was fighting people who were licentious, saying, I don't have to do anything for God. I can live for myself. I can live on my own. And so James said, that is not true religion. True religion is taking care of widows and orphans. That's true religion, because that's who he was fighting. Paul was fighting legalistic people who were saying, get circumcised, eat kosher food, and then you can be saved. And Paul's like, that's not salvation. If you can be saved by the law, he said in Galatians, then Christ died in vain. So we have that place in the middle, where we are not legalistic, but we are not licentious. We are not living in the world involved in the sins of the world, but we are not legalistic involved in the things of the world. We are filled with the Holy Spirit and we walk by the Spirit. And the mind set on the flesh is carnal, Romans 8 says, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's where we walk, between those two enemies of licentiousness and the law, which wants to drag us down. And so Jesus said this in his prayer in John 17, verse 11 and then 15 and 17. Now I am no longer in the world. He's getting ready to go die. But these are in the world, his disciples. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one and not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So just as the people were called, God's people, the tribulation saints who were saved after the church was caught up to be with the Lord forever, and the Jews who are beginning to realize that Jesus is the Messiah, and it's happening now. There's a snowball effect happening. Just 10 years ago in Jerusalem, you rarely ever heard of a Jew who was a Christian. Today, it's happening at such a rate that they're passing laws. They're trying to pass laws in Jerusalem that if anybody preaches, wins anybody to Christ, they'll do a year in jail. If they're under 18 years old, you'll do 2 years in jail. That's a law that they brought up to the legislation over and over again in Jerusalem because so many Jews are coming to Christ now. And so he says, come out of them, my people. Then verse 5, for her sins have reached heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her her torment and sorrow. God's like, double up on her. She gets twice the judgment. Now, she lived luxuriously. Living luxuriously isn't wrong. The Bible says that God gave men the ability to make wealth. And praise God for that, otherwise we'd starve. God gave us that ability to make it. But I think, and you may think differently, but I think there's a point where it's too much. There's a point where the luxury becomes absurd for one person. We live in a world where billionaires are growing at an incredible rate. And these billionaires may do good things. And some of them, I don't know, Elon Musk, I don't know if I can say he lives luxuriously, if I'm right. I mean, he's got more than anybody else to be sure. But there are pastors who live luxuriously. You ever seen the website, Pastors in Their Sneakers? Go check it out. They take pictures of pastors preaching, and then they put their shoes up on them and how much they cost the pastors. Some of them like $20,000. I hope it's still around. I hope it's not gone. I haven't been there in a long time. I hope it's still around, just so you can see it. These were like $70, by the way, just so you know. I bought them at Aldo on sale, and then I ordered four more pairs because I like them. I'm like, those are cool. They got little stars on the side. Can you see that? All right. But they're like $70. You can be too luxurious. It can be too much. You can live in such a way. If God has given you wealth, the Bible says, tell those who are wealthy not to trust in the uncertainty of wealth and be willing to share. So you are to help the poor, you're to help the struggling how you can, at the level you can. This is not like piling on to anybody who can't help. Help at the level you can. And you can help any level you are, you can help. And the help was seen by God. If you give the widow's mites, God sees that and knows you gave more than anybody else. But if you're living luxuriously, there's a accountability that goes with that money. In the same measure of her torment and sorrow, you said in your heart, I said as a queen, I am no widow. I will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues have come on her in a day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously, so the kings of the earth lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her, I bet, when they see the smoke of her burning. So when the Antichrist devours her so he can have his religious system, his economic system, they all lose out. And now they're full of mourning. And then it says, they will weep and lament at the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance from her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great Babylon, the mighty city, for when in 1 hour her judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore, merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple silk and scarlet, every kind of wood. So it started with gold and silver. Then it went to fabrics. And then now it's gone to wood, and every object of ivory, and every object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine, oil, flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses and chariots, and the bodies of souls and men. Now, everything else there is literal. When it says cattle and sheep, it means cattle and sheep. So people want to take the bodies of men and souls and make it figurative. Why? It's Babylon. In the movie Sound of Freedom, the very end of it, it flashes up, there are more slaves in the world today than at any other time in history. And it gives the percent of their children. I don't remember what percentage was children. And now that number has been questioned, right? The media is going berserk. And that number has been questioned. Now, I'll guarantee you the number of slaves in the world are large. Babylon sells them. There are slaves in the Congo today mining cobalt. They're slaves. They're nothing more than slaves. They are being made to mine cobalt, which is toxic, without any kind of masks. And there's children that are digging them. Again, look it up. Go look up slavery, cobalt mining in the Congo. There are these kids and these people that are made to go and mine this stuff. Why? Because the world has decided that by a certain year, we have to have all EVs. And you've got to have cobalt for batteries. And now they're mining it, and they're not willing to stop it because where are they going to get the cobalt? So Elon Musk, second time I brought him up in this study, buys non-slavery cobalt. So he looks good. But what does he do to everybody else when he's bought up all the non-slavery cobalt? Makes them go and buy the slavery cobalt. And so slavery continues on because we continue to make decisions that are poor decisions. We're not ready to go EV yet. We may never be. But we allow slavery because it fits with our agenda. Amen. I like it. It's true. It's true. And there are people that are suffering because of it. Now, these bodies and souls of men that are sold, women, children, I don't know what level. Some of them are sex trade. They're forced into it. And when I say forced into it, sometimes it's just by no choice. Sometimes it's just what has happened to them. Sometimes it's by someone who they love who sells them for drugs. Sometimes it's for alcohol. Sometimes it's just what the world that they're living in. But this is our world, and Babylon does it even more. The fruit your soul longed for is gone from you. They wanted these things. When we think of the souls of bodies, of the souls and bodies of men, the very things they longed for are gone. They no longer have them. And all the things which the rich and splendid have gone from you, and you have found them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance and of fear and torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious jewels and pearls. For in 1 hour, the great riches have come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ships, sailors, as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning. There's more trade on our seas now than ever before. This was highlighted at the end of COVID. Remember when, was it the Strait of Hormuz that the boat got stuck in? Evergreen or whatever it was? And it backed up ships because they need to be going through. And the United States got backed up and our shelves got empty because those ships need to keep coming. Well, all of these are going to be reverted. And by the way, you've got the Red Sea and the Strait of Hormuz is right by Saudi Arabia, right by where Mecca is. I just keep seeing connections. I'm not saying it's it. I'm just seeing connections. So all the ships, they mourn because of what has happened. And then verse 19, they threw dust on their heads and they cried out weeping and wailing. Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships of the sea became rich with their wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. And this is why I believe it's a great city and not a metaphor for a city. Because the city is destroyed. The city is smoking. The city is burning. When the Bible uses metaphorical language, it says things like, I saw, as it were, a great city, as if it were smoking. as if the smoke was rising. That's how metaphor language is used in the Bible. When it says the city was destroyed in an hour and the smoke went up and burnt from it, it's a literal city. Verse 20, rejoice over her, O heaven. And we're going to get that next week. You holy apostles, prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. Now, some people believe that that's a new destruction, that the kings of the earth destroyed the religious Babylon, chapter 17, and an angel throws a stone in the water that destroys the city of Babylon. But it's not. This is an analogy of how far she has gone and has disappeared. Listen to how it's used now. This is metaphorical language. Let me read from verse 21. Then the mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with great violence, this great city Babylon shall be thrown down. So she shall not be found anymore. Just like that great stone was cast into the sea and disappeared under the waters, so the city of Babylon has been destroyed and will be found no more. The sound of the harpist, the musician, the flutist, the trumpeters shall not be heard anymore. That's entertainment. I told you it was Hollywood. Just kidding. I don't think it's Hollywood. It's a joke. Don't write me an email. No craftsmen or crafts shall be found anymore. The sound of the millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. That's Vegas. Now it's Vegas again, the light of the lamp. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride, that's Vegas too. People go together to get married, shall not be heard anymore. For the merchants were the great men of the earth. And I'm joking, all right? I don't think it's Vegas. Don't write me emails. For by, now get this, when we looked at the passage out of Isaiah that says, in your sorceries, which are using spells to conjure up demons to do your work. Okay, that's what sorcery is. Now it says this for Babylon. And he said, you did that from your youth, right? Remember that? Now he says of Babylon, for by your sorceries, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. Now, this is not a new destruction. This is the response of the people on the earth to the destruction in chapter 17. Now, in chapter 19, we get the response from heaven, which is the opposite. Here they're mourning, they're lamenting, they've lost their luxury, they've been made rich off of it. But heaven is going to rejoice for an entire different reason. I want to close with two things. Number one, I want to give you the criteria we have been making over the last few weeks on what Mystery Babylon is like. Remember, all of these criteria have to be met. I have 15 of them now, okay? Babylon is a great city. So whatever you think Babylon is, it's got to be a great city. The nations are ruled by her. So it has to be a city that rules the nations. The kings of the earth commit fornication with her. That's idolatry. The merchants of the earth become rich through her. The blood of the saints is shed by her. Again, could point to Islam, who sets on many waters, peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So wherever she's worshiped a lot of different places, which again could be a connection to Islam. I hate to keep saying that because I don't know, maybe I don't want to believe it is, but there's a lot of connections. Is connected to the wilderness. It said that I took him to the wilderness to show you the harlot that sat on the beast. I saw a woman sitting in a scarlet beast having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the political world of the Antichrist. She rides, and when you ride, you control. So she controls him for a while until she's destroyed by him. The ships of the sea become rich at her wealth. God's people are called out of her. She glorified herself and lived luxuriously, will be destroyed in 1 hour. No one will buy their merchandise anymore. The nations are deceived by her, and she sits on 7 mountains. She also sits on many waters. Does this represent a couple of different things? I don't know. I don't think it's 7 hills of Rome. It's 7 mountains. I'm not saying it's not Rome. I'm just saying I don't think it's the same thing because it would say 7 hills. Rome is the city of 7 hills. Jerusalem has 7 mountains, by the way. They aren't like we think of a mountain, like Catalina's, but it is a mountain range. And there are 7 mountains that are there, or 7 hills. Jerusalem's been called the city of 7 hills as well. I got 4 scriptures I want to read, but I'm only going to read one of them. This is 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of my Father lives forever. May we not live for this world. This world tricks us. You find yourself in a movie and the world goes down a road you didn't want to go down. You're like, what is going on? Well, the world is not your friend. You might think it is, but it's not. And so we live our lives wholeheartedly for Christ. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we're able to take time today to look at this chapter that tells us so much. And we're so struck by the world that we're living in that would allow slavery because of an agenda, that would allow children to be trafficked for whatever reason, who knows why. But Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds would be set on heaven. We are finding ourselves a lot like Lot. Righteous hearts are being vexed by the world that we are living in. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to stand for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never said, I am his disciple. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for him. Jesus went into the Galilee and he pointed out 12 men and he said, follow me. And they left their tax tables. They left their nets and they followed him. They laid down their lives and they did what he said. And that's exactly what's being asked of you. Jesus said, if any of you wants to follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. And if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. So we surrender who we are to start living for him. We say to him, God, I'm done. No longer what I want, but whatever you want. I surrender to you. I will now live for you. The Bible says clearly in John 1:12, as many as receive him. People call that easy believism, but there's nothing easy about the cross. The price was paid by Jesus, not you. And if you receive him, he gives you the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. You will be born again by the power of the Spirit of God made available by the work of Christ on the cross. And if you want to give your life to Jesus today, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. You want to start being his follower? You want to stop living for yourself and start living for him? Then raise your hand. This is your moment. Christ died for you. You can raise your hand for him. You can say, Lord, I want you. I'm ready to live for you. God bless you. Ma'am, that's awesome. Lift up your hand. That's great. All right, you can put your hand down. And I would like everyone, including the gal who raised her hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin. I want to be a disciple. I want to follow you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.